This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon our beloved Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and upon all the prophets and all the messengers that were sent to mankind. Brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today's presentation, inshaAllah ta'ala, is entitled Dealing with Grief and Depression. And this presentation is a gift to every single person who is going through any grief, any pain, any suffering, any sorrow, any depression of any kind, inshaAllah ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala heal your hearts. During the time of the great Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, his son Abdullah called out to his father one day and he said to him, "When will a believer find rest?" And his father, rahimahullah ta'ala, he said, "When he places his right foot in Jannah, when he places his right foot in paradise." So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, throughout the Qur'an, He makes it very clear that hardships, struggles, trials are an inevitable part of the story of life, of this dunya. For example, in Surah Al-Ankabut, Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ Do people think that they will be left alone just because they say we believe and that they will not be tested or trialed? And Allah Azza wa Jal continues and He says, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ But we have certainly, for sure, we tried those before them. And Allah will make it evident those who are truthful. And He will surely make it evident those who were liars. And in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ And He says, and we will surely test you with something, with a little bit of fear and hunger and loss of wealth and lives and fruits. And we all know that very important surah from the Qur'an, Surah Al-Mulk, تَبَارَكَ الَّذِي بِيَدِهِ الْمُلْكِ that we've all been encouraged to read, to recite regularly, to memorize. So it becomes our intercession in the grave. In this very surah, at the very beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, الَّذِي خَلَقَ الْمَوْتَ وَالْحَيَاةَ لِيَبْلُوَكُمْ أَيُّكُمْ أَحْسَنُ عَمَلًا Allah makes it very clear, the purpose and what will happen in this worldly life. He who created death and life to test who or which of you is best indeed. My dear brothers, my dear sisters in Islam, dear listener, remember that in this life, you will inevitably at one point or another go through 8 states. You will go through happiness and sadness. You will go through gains and losses. You will gain a relative. Allah will make you come into contact with beloved ones, people who are loved to you. And then you will part from them as a result of their death. You will go through ease and you will go through hardship. You will go through good health and you will go through sickness. This is inevitable. These 8 states, 8 conditions, every single Muslim will find themselves fluctuating between them. And so the question is, how do we deal with our hardships? How do we deal with our grievances? How do we deal with anxiety? How do we deal with sadness? How do we deal with loss? And so, alhamdulillah, tonight I will share a number of strategies and a number of ways to deal with them, insha'Allah ta'ala. May Allah accept from all of us. From amongst the strategies, and this is the first, is to have a look at those who have been tested and afflicted before us, and those who are being tested and afflicted around us. This will make our situation easy. Let's begin with the best of the best, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When we look at the life and the seerah and the biography of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have in him a perfect example of his afflictions and the perfect display of patience and how he dealt with these hardships. We know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for example, he was an orphan. He never met his father. And so he didn't go through that father-son relationship. We know that he barely spent in total 3 years with his mother, because for the first few years he was raised by his wet nurse Halima, and his mother Amina died when he was at the age of 6. He lost his grandfather Abdul Muttalib. He loses his uncle Abu Talib, who raised him after the death of his grandfather and who was his shield and against every enemy. We learn that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whilst making sujood in front of the Kaaba, the placenta of a camel was placed on his back while he was in sujood until his daughter Fatima comes to remove it. He was forced to stay in a valley known as the Shi'b, the valley of Abu Talib radiyallahu anhu wa arda, for 3 long years as a result of the boycott of Quraysh, whereby the Muslims at times had nothing to eat except for the grass and the leaves of the trees. He was laughed at and stones were pelted at him, causing his feet to bleed when he went to Ta'if seeking a safe haven for his followers. His feet swelled and cracked as a result of the long-standing hours in his night prayers, in his tahajjud prayers. His face, his noble face, was pierced by his armor, by 2 rings that pierced his face when he was during the battle of Uhud, the second battle when he migrated to Medina. He was forced to leave his city of birth to migrate to Medina. His wife Aisha was accused of adultery until Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed verses of her innocence. His uncle Hamza, along with 70 of his friends of the Sahaba, were killed in the battle of Uhud. All of his boys were died during infancy, during his lifetime. All of his daughters, they died except for Fatima radiallahu anha wa ardaha, who died 6 months after his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would go through hunger pains that would make him tie a rock to his stomach to suppress the hunger. And many accusations were made against him. He was called all sorts of names, such as being a madman. So when we look at the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we look at what he went through and the struggles and the hardships that he went through, yet despite all of this, subhanallah, he displayed the best of patience. And he is our role model. He is our qudwa. لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. And then before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have the trials of the prophets and the messengers. Zakariya alayhi salam, Prophet Zakariya was killed. Prophet Yahya was slaughtered. Musa was forced to migrate. Ibrahim was placed in the fire. Prophet Ayyub alayhi salatu was salam, he lost many of his children. He was stripped from his wealth and his property, and he suffered from a disease for many years, which led to him being abandoned by the people around him, except for his devout wife who stood beside him. Yunus, Prophet Jonah, Yunus alayhi salam, was swallowed up by a big fish, spending time in darkness upon darkness upon darkness. And so We find examples in the prophets before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We find the trials and the tribulations and the hardships that the companions, the best of people after the prophets, and what they went through. Umar radiallahu anhu, Uthman radiallahu anhu were killed. They were martyred. Ali radiallahu anhu wa arda was attacked. And the great scholars of the past were whipped and they were imprisoned or they were persecuted for speaking the truth and rejecting falsehood. In Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَأْتِكُمْ مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ خَلَوْا مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ مَسَّتْهُمُ الْبَأْسَاءُ وَالضَّرَّاءُ وَزُلْزِلُوا. Do you think that you will enter Jannah, you will enter paradise, while such trial has not yet come to you as come to those who have passed before you? And so this is the first strategy, is not looking at your situation and not overwhelming yourself with what you're going through, but having a look at what others before you and around you are going through, and then being appreciative that what is your trial in comparison to the trials and the tribulations of others. Number two is to be optimistic and to think about the good that may result from your misfortune. There could be good from what you are going through. And so the optimist, he sees opportunity in every difficulty. The pessimist, the one who's pessimistic, he sees difficulty in every opportunity. And far superior are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, whereby He says, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. But perhaps you hate a thing and it is good for you. And perhaps you love something, but it is actually bad for you. And Allah knows and you do not know. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was expelled from Mecca only to establish a state in Medina. Ahmad ibn Hanbal was imprisoned only to end up with the praiseworthy title of Imam Ahlus Sunnah. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala was imprisoned and thereafter becoming one of the greatest scholars of all time. Imam Muhammad al-Sarkhasi, another great scholar, he was imprisoned in an abandoned well, and consequently, subhanAllah, he produced 30 volumes of Islamic knowledge, and it's entitled Al-Mabsut. And many Muslims in jail become more dedicated to their religion. Many of them who memorize the entire Quran as a result of entering jail, either due to a crime that they committed or to an infringement, or it could be that they have been imprisoned innocently, they haven't done anything. And subhanAllah, consequently, they come out better individuals. Ibn al-Athir was exiled. He was sent away from his country and he ended up producing 40 publications just because he was exiled. Ibn al-Jawzi, rahimahullahu ta'ala, was banished and he learned the different qira'at related to the Quran. Prophet Yusuf, alayhi salatu wassalam, was imprisoned for a number of years for a crime that he did not commit. And subhanAllah, consequently, his father, Ya'qub, Jacob, he lost his eyesight. وَبْيَضَّتْ عَيْنَاهُ. He lost his eyesight temporarily as a result of his grief. And subhanAllah, he was shedding tears over the loss of one of his children, only one. But subhanAllah, later on we learn that this loss, this temporary loss, and those tears actually saved the tears of thousands of parents in the future. When Yusuf alayhi salatu wassalam was the one who gave the strategy to the king after the king had in a dream that there's going to be 7 years of drought and famine. And Prophet Yusuf, he interpreted the dream and he gave the strategy which consequently saved the city. SubhanAllah. So always be optimistic and look at the good that can come out of your hardship. Don't overwhelm yourself with grief and sadness that this is the end of the world. And why is this happening to me? Well, as Allah Azza wa Jal said, عَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. That it could be that you hate something, but it is actually good for you. Number three is appreciate what you have and don't focus on what you don't have. Appreciate what you have. In Surah Luqman, we learn, as Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ ظَاهِرَةً وَبَاطِنًا. He smothered you. Allah Azza wa Jal, He smothered you with blessings. وَأَسْبَغَ عَلَيْكُمْ نِعَمَهُ. His blessings, the outward, the zahir, and the batin, which is the inward. In Sunan al-Tirmidhi, listen to this beautiful hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever among you wakes up secure in his property. So if you wake up and you feel safe, you're secure, and you have your property, and you are healthy, so you feel secure, and you are healthy, you wake up with a healthy body, healthy in his body, and he has his food for the day, you have enough provision for one day. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it is as if he were given the entire world. It's as if you have got the entire world in your possessions. Your hard job, my dear brother, my dear sister in Islam, is the dream of the unemployed. Maybe this is the mindset that you need to have. Focusing on what you have and not what you don't have. So your hard job is the dream of the unemployed. Your annoying child is the dream of a person who cannot have children. Your small house is the dream of a person who is homeless. Your little money, the little money that you have, is the dream of every person who is in debt or severe debt. Your smile, that you can smile, the very fact that you can smile, is the dream of every depressed person. So appreciate and be thankful for what you have and don't look to what others have. For perhaps if you had what they have, it would have harmed your faith. It would have harmed your health, or perhaps harmed your relationship. Number four, prevention is better than cure. Prevention is better than cure. And so when it comes to dealing with grief and depression, we try and protect ourselves from falling into this state. And we do this through many words, subhanAllah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. Beginning with the morning and the evening supplications. From that amazing book that we have today, Fortress of the Muslim, Hisnul Muslim, there is a chapter there. It is called Remembrance, or Words of Remembrance for the Morning and for the Evening. It will take you 15, maybe 17 minutes to do the entire adhkar of the morning and the evening. And the more you do them, the better you will get at it. And you will memorize them, insha'Allah ta'ala. Fortress of the Muslim, that means fortify yourself, protect yourself from falling into despair, from falling into hardship, from falling into depression. And so, let's say for example, you don't have the time. Then at least limit yourself to the following. Number one is to recite the greatest ayah in the Quran, Ayatul Kursi. This is chapter 2, verse 255 from the Quran. Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum. Next comes the last three chapters of the Quran. Qul huwa Allahu ahad. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Qul a'udhu bi rabbin nas. Saying these three times each. And remember, these supplications, these adhkar, are to be said after Fajr and after Asr. After Asr. Teach them to your children, insha'Allah ta'ala. Another very important dua, min adhkar al-sabahi wal-masa, al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say, Allahumma aafini fi badani, Allahumma aafini fi sam'i, Allahumma aafini fi basari, la ilaha illa ant. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-kufri wal-faqri وأعوذ بك من عذاب القبر لا إله إلا أنت. And you recite this one 3 times. Recite the supplication. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi al-dunya wal-akhirah. Allahumma inni as'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata fi dini wa dunyaya wa ahli wa mali. اللهم استر عوراتي وآمن روعاتي اللهم احفظني من بين يدي ومن خلفي وعن يميني وعن شمالي ومن فوقي وأعوذ بعظمتك أن أغتال من تحتي. Listen to the translation of this beautiful and important dhikr. Here, this dua. The Prophet ﷺ said, Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness and your protection in this world and the next. Oh Allah, I seek your forgiveness and your protection in my religion, in my worldly affairs, in my family, in my wealth. Oh Allah, conceal my secrets and preserve me from anguish. Oh Allah, guard me from what is in front of me, from behind me, from my left, from my right, from above me. And I seek refuge in your greatness from being struck down from beneath me. Another one that's very important to say, in the morning and in the evening, 3 times. Bismillahi alladhi la yadurru ma'asmihi shay'un fil ardi wa la fis sama'i wa huwa as-sami'u al-alim. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever says this particular dhikr, this particular one, he said, whoever recites it 3 times in the morning will not be afflicted by any calamity before evening. And whoever recites it 3 times in the evening will not be overtaken by any calamity before the morning. Also, after Asr, and this is only in the evening adhkar, أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ أَعُوذُ بِكَلِمَاتِ اللَّهِ التَّامَّاتِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقَ. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that whoever recites this 3 times in the evening, then he will be protected from insect stings. From amongst the adhkar that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would say to the children, to protect the children from the ayn, al-aynu haq, from hasad, from envy, from being harmed. He would say to al-Hasan wal-Husayn, his grandchildren, and he taught us to say, u'idhuka, if it's a boy, u'idhuki, if it's a girl, u'idhukuma, u'idhukum, bikalimati Allahi tamma. من كل شيطان وهامة ومن كل عين لامة. Here you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect يعني your children from every beast, from every envious, blameworthy eye. Whenever you arrive in a new city, you arrive into a new city, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to say, أعوذ بكلمات الله التامات من شر ما خلق. Subhanallah, in Sunan Abi Dawood, we learn how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one day he entered the masjid and he saw one of the Ansar. One of the Ansar, his name is Abu Umama. And he said to him, Ya Abu Umama, يعني you're in the masjid and it's not time for the salah. It's not time for the salah. What's your situation? What's your story? He said, Humumun wa duyunun lazamatni ya Rasulallah. He said, worries and debts, a messenger of Allah. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said to him, shall I not teach you some words, which if you say them, Allah will make يعني, your worries go away, and He will help you pay off your debt. And so he taught him to say, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-hammi wal-hazan, wal-ajzi wal-kasal, wal-jubni wal-bukhal, wa-dala' al-dayni wa-ghalabat al-rijal. The wording of this one, the beginning of it, he said to him to say, I seek refuge with you from worry and from grief. يعني, Ya Allah, don't make me be overcome with worries. يعني, Al-ham is about the future. Al-ham is to do with worries that you have about the future. Wal-hazan fima mada. يعني, you're now going, you're asking Allah to protect you from hazan, and hazan is from what is giving you sadness from the past. A very important dhikr or dua to add to your collection of adhkar and dua. And when Abu Umama radiallahu anhu arda, when he said this, he said, I did that and Allah took away my worry and He paid off my debt. Number 5, during anxiety, during depression, grief, hardships, move your lips. Move your lips, moisten your lips, moisten your tongue with the words that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us to say, specifically when we are in a state of hardship. So for example, in Sunan Abu Dawood, An-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he teaches us to say, Allahu, Allahu Rabbi, la ushriku bihi shay'a, which means, he said, Allah, the exalted and ever majestic, Allah, Allah, He is my Rabb and I do not associate any partners with Him. An-Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, whoever was afflicted with grief and distress, and he says, Allah, the exalted and ever majestic, he will remove his grief and will change his sorrow into happiness. Subhanallah. In Musnad al-Imam Ahmad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, no person suffers an anxiety or grief and he says the following dua, Allahumma inni abduka, ibnu abdika, ibnu amatik, nasiyati biyadik, madin fiya hukmuk, adlun fiya qada'uk, as'aluka bikulli ismin huwa lak sammayta bihi nafsak, aw anzaltahu fi kitabik, aw allamtahu ahadan min khalqik, aw istathartu bihi fi ilmil ghaibi indak, an taj'al al-Qur'an rabi'a qalbi wa nura sadri wa jala'a huzni wa dhahaba hammi. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, no one ever says these words when he is sad, but Allah removes his sadness and he replaces it with happiness. Allahu Akbar. They are words, but when they are said with a present mind and a present heart, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove the sorrow and the sadness. So the people asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do we have to learn these words? He said, yes, you should learn them. And we have the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu wa arda, collected by Tabarani and others, and it is sahih according to Shaykh al-Albani in his Sahih al-Jami', whereby he said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us this dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika wa rahmatik, fa'innahu la yamlikuha illa ant. Oh Allah, I ask you from your bounty, min fadlika wa rahmatik, and your mercy. For indeed none possesses them except you. He said this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he once had a visitor and he inquired about food to offer the visitor. He wanted to be hospitable towards his guest and he couldn't find anything to eat in the house. So he couldn't find anything in the houses of his wives, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he made the dua, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlika wa rahmatika fa innahu la yamlikuha illa ant. Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu wa ardah, he said, after he said this dua, he was gifted with cooked meat. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, this is from the fadl, this is from the bounty of Allah, and now we await the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another powerhouse dhikr to say when you are in a difficult situation is dua dhannun. Dua dhannun. Who is dhannun? The man of the fish. Prophet Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam. We know that Prophet Yunus alayhi salatu wa salam was in three darknesses. He was in the darkness of the night, in the darkness of the belly of a big fish, in the darkness of the ocean, subhanallah, darkness upon darkness upon darkness. And in Surah Al-Anbiya, Allah Azza wa Jal, he informs us what he said to get him out of the strife that he was in, the predicament that he was in, the dilemma. He says, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. There is no ilah, no God that is worthy of worship except for you, and indeed I have been of the wrongdoers. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, he dedicated 60 pages of commentary just about La ilaha illa ant, La ilaha illa ant, subhanaka inni kuntu min al-zalimin. So then what do we learn happen? Allah Azza wa Jal says, فَاسْتَجَبْنَا لَهُ وَنَجَّيْنَاهُ مِنَ الْغَمِّ وَكَذَلِكَ نَجْزِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ So Allah subhanAllah, He responded to him. And He saved him from the distress. Now listen to what Allah Azza wa Jal says at the end. And thus we save the believers. Not only Yunus, but anybody who was a believer. Anybody who's a muwahid, anybody who acknowledges the tawheed and the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So add that to your collection of things to say insha'Allah ta'ala. Another rewarding phrase that we find in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that we will go through trials, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَاتِ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ He says, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ So those who, when disaster strikes them, they say, indeed we belong to Allah and indeed to Him we will return. Subhanallah, if you say this, during disaster, during calamity, during يعني, a very trialing moment, you're setting yourself up for three rewards. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ That's the first one. Those are the ones whom, يعني, are the ones who are going to receive blessing. صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ And they are going to have the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ And they are the ones who are going to be guided. Three things. Allahu Akbar. You just say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ And you're setting yourself up for those three things. Now, we've become accustomed to إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ We only say it, many of us, only if there's a death. Only if there's a death we say it. But here we learn if we have a musibah. Yes, of course, death is a musibah. But if you're going through any hardship, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. So this is something that we also need to be يعني, saying. Also, we find in Sahih Muslim, Hadith Umm Salama, radiyallahu anha wa ardaha, she mentions that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, if any servant of Allah who suffers a calamity says, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un, and adds to it, Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wakhluf li khayran minha, oh Allah, reward me of my affliction and give me something better than it in exchange for it, Allah will give him reward for his affliction and would give him something better than it يعني, as an exchange. She said, when her husband Abu Salama died, She said these words, Allahumma ajurni inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Allahumma ajurni fi musibati wa akhluf li khayran minha. Oh Allah, compensate me for my hardship and give me better than it. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala compensated her. She ends up marrying who? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in Sahih Muslim, we read that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst he was on a journey, He addressed Abdullah ibn Qais and he said to him, أَلَا أَدُلُّكَ عَلَىٰ كَنْزٍ مِّنْ كُنُوزِ الْجَنَّةِ He said to him, shall I not guide you to a treasure, a kanz, a treasure from amongst the treasures of Jannah? Abdullah ibn Qais radiallahu anhu, he said, Allah's Messenger, do it, of course. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught him to say, لَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ كَنْزٌ مِّنْ كُنُوزِ الْجَنَّةِ It is a treasure. When you say there is no might, لا حول, or there's nothing that stands between you and the قُوَّة and the power except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so what we derive from these words, that what is between a sinner and the maghfirah, the asi and the forgiveness of Allah azza wa jal is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the one who's going to forgive you of your sins. And what lies between the need, your need, and the bounty of Allah and His rahmah is Allah Azza wa Jal. So, subhanAllah, we should always be in a state of saying these type of adhkar. Another recommended phrase that we find in Sahih al-Bukhari is Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil. حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. And this means حَسْبُنَا يعني sufficient. Sufficient for us is Allah, and He is an excellent guardian. And these words were uttered by two of the greatest prophets. This was uttered by Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam when he was placed in the fire. And this is Khalilullah. And it was also uttered by Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam during the battle of the trench, when he heard, when the people began to, yani saying, people are gathering against you, so fear them. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, Hasbunallahu wa ni'ma al-wakil. And so likewise as well, if you're visiting a sick person, that person may be a relative, that may be your child, that may be your parent, it may be a friend. The sunnah is to say to this person, As'alullah al-azim, Rabbal arsh al-azim, an yashfiyaka, to say it seven times. And if you say it seven times, As'alullah al-azim, Rabbal arsh al-azim, an yashfiyaka, and Allah Azza wa Jal has not decreed for this person to die, then he will be cured as a result of your dua for him. So these are, subhanAllah, these are words that are taught to us from the one who لا ينطق عن الهوى, who doesn't make these things up, who doesn't speak from his own accord. It is through revelation. And subhanAllah, when you are consoling somebody, when somebody has passed away, the best words to say is إِنَّا لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذَ وَلَهُ مَا أَعْطَى وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ عِنْدَهُ بِأَجَلٍ مُسَمَّى فَلْتَصْبِرْ وَلْتَحْتَسِبْ. So you remind that person who's bereaved. You say, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ مَا أَخَذَ, to Allah belongs what He took. وَإِنَّا لِلَّهِ مَا أَعْطَى, and to Him belongs what He gave. And everything has an appointed time. Everything will expire. So you remind that person, because he's in a state whereby he's probably too emotional, you remind the person about the reality of this life. Likewise, another game changer, yani with regards to the prophetic du'as, is to make du'a. It's just to make general du'a. And when it comes to du'a, either Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will answer your du'a, will give you what you want, or He will give you better than what you want, or He will delay it for you until the Day of Judgment and compensate you for your dua, or He will ward off a hardship that was coming your way as a consequence of your dua. Four things can happen when you make dua. And so ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when you ask Allah azza wa jal, don't only ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make the situation easier, but ask Allah to make you stronger, because the situation may not become easy. The situation may never change, but you are the one that needs to stay strong and devoted and keep on asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thabat, to be steadfast. Because some calamities, some misfortunes may make a person insane or derail. And so also keep an eye out for the best times of the dua. From amongst the best of the best times for dua is in the third part of the night. And this, as Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullahu ta'ala, he said that dua in the third part of the night, meaning about a couple of hours out from the Fajr prayer, during that period of time, this is the suhoor or the sahur period. During that blessed period, he said, whoever makes dua during that period, it is like an arrow that does not miss its target. Likewise, on Jumu'ah, between Asr and between Maghrib, spend that time as much as you can making dua. Likewise, between the Adhan and the Iqamah, instead of chatting, instead of talking, make dua between the Adhan and the Iqamah. During your sujood, make dua. Make dua even if it's in your own mother tongue language, if you cannot يعني speak it in Arabic. Before the taslim, before you say assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah in your salah, after you've recited Ibrahimiyya and the dua, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min adhabi jahannam, to the end of that dua, Make dua before you say assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah to the right and to the left. So these are the times to make dua. But remember that there are conditions for the acceptance of your dua. Two very important conditions. So in Surah Al-Baqarah, after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the obligation of fasting, chapter 2, verse 186, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. Here Allah Azza wa Jal says, if my servant asks you about me, I am me. I answer the supplication of the supplicator when he calls upon me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, let him respond to me, let him answer me. Meaning that if you want your dua to be answered, and you know, and we all, we said, are inevitably going to go through a difficult moment, and we're all going to be at one point raising our hands, we need to make sure that we are answering the instructions of Allah and the commands of Allah. So we are praying five times a day, we are giving our zakat, we are keeping away from the haram. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي. And let that person have the correct iman. And in another hadith, we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, he said, "Atib matamak," make sure your ta'am, your nourishment is tayyib, is pure. Takun mustajabat da'wa. So your da'wa, your du'a can be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one of the best antidotes of depression. One of the best antidotes of depression is dhikrullah. In Surah Taha, Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَنْ أَعْرَضَ عَنْ ذِكْرِي فَإِنَّ لَهُ مَعِيشَةً ضَنْكَ. And whoever turns away from my remembrance, indeed he will have a depressed life. So one of the ways to avoid this depressive life is to be in a state of remembrance of Allah. And by the remembrance of Allah, we begin with the fara'id. We begin with the obligations. And subhanAllah, one of the Sahaba, he said, I know when Allah remembers me. And they asked him, how do you know when Allah remembers you? He says, does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ in Surah Al-Baqarah, فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ, remember me and I will remember you. And one of the most important words of dhikr to be saying, when you were in a state of anxiety, of going through grief and sorrow, and hardship, is astaghfirullah, Allahu Akbar. It's a very, very simple phrase, very light to say, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. And subhanAllah, one day, we have a story whereby there was an imam in the masjid, and a man comes in and he says, ya imam, you know, please make dua, what is yani, the solution for my wealth to increase? He said, say astaghfirullah. Another man comes, he says, ya imam, what, how can I have more, I want children, I'm not able to have children, say astaghfirullah. And the third man, he comes in and he says, ya imam, what can I do yani, for it to rain? I'm a farmer, I need the rain for my crops, for my farm. He says, say astaghfirullah. And one of the students, he said, ya imam, yani, you said three different questions, you gave the same answer, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. He said, does not Allah Azza wa Jal in Surah Nuh say, فَقُلْتُ اسْتَغْفِرُوا رَبَّكُمْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ غَفَّارًا يُرْسِلِ السَّمَاءَ عَلَيْكُمْ مِدَرَارًا وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ وَيَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ أَنْهَارًا. And he mentions these verses and about saying astaghfirullah and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever a perpetual forgiver. And he will send, when you do your istighfar, he will send rain from the sky upon you in continuing showers, and he will give you increase in wealth and children, and provide for you gardens, and provide for you rivers. Number six, from amongst the contributing factors to deal with your yani depression, to deal with your anxiety, to deal with your grief, is focus on the reward and not the loss or the challenge. Focus on the ajr. Focus on the reward that you're going to get as a result of your calamity. In Bukhari and Muslim, we learned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, for every misfortune, illness, anxiety, grief, or hurt that afflicts a Muslim, even if it's caused by the pricking of a thorn, الشوكه. Allah removes some of his sins. And in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when a child of the slave of Allah dies, your child dies, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect all of our children, Allah says to the angels, he says to them, have you taken the delight of his eye? Have you taken the fruits of his work? They say, yes. So he says, what did my slave say? And they reply, he praised you. He praised you and mentioned that to you is the return. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, he says, build a house in paradise for my slave and name it Baytul Hamd, and name it the house of praise. And in Sahih Muslim, we have the hadith, a man came to Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu wa arda, and he said, two of my sons have died. Can you narrate to me, he's saying to Abu Huraira, can you narrate to me any hadiths, any words from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which would console for us our loss, which will, you know, give us some happiness from this bad news, from this sad news? He said, yes. He said, their little ones, those who lose their children, their little ones, they are da'amirs of paradise. They are the da'amirs of paradise. When one of them meets his parent, he takes hold of his garment or his hand, as I am taking hold of the hem of your garment, and he does not let go until Allah admits him and his father into Jannah. And his father into Jannah. Why did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam refer to these children who die at a young age as da'amirs, or which is the plural of da'amus? Da'amus also refers to the one who wanders about. In other words, they go everywhere in Jannah. So not only will they enter Jannah, they'll be able to go to different parts of the Jannah, and they will not be barred from any place. So this is one of the rewards. Number seven, inshallah ta'ala, from the ways of dealing with our dilemmas, our hardships, our griefs, our depression, is to always know without a shadow of doubt, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا. Allah is with you. Allah is with you, 100%. Never lose that focus. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fleeing Mecca with Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu arda to go to Medina, they entered into a cave. And soon after the Meccans, the people of Mecca from the Quraysh, they were pursuing, they came to the mouth of the cave. And Abu Bakr, he started going pale and he was frightened, not for fear for himself, but for fear for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he remained calm and he said, do not have any fear, certainly Allah was with us. And subhanAllah, as soon as he said those words, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu wa arda began to feel tranquility in his heart. And so one thing that we must understand as Muslims, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, is that having strong iman and having strong faith and dedication is very important to dealing with the calamity, to dealing with the misfortune. Your iman does not mean you won't experience struggles. Just because you're a mu'min, just because you're a believer, you're a Muslim, you're a person who performs qiyam, it doesn't mean that you are going to be spared of hardships and struggles. It does not mean that. And we find أشد الناس ابتلاء, that those who went through the harshest of struggles and the most severest of struggles were the أنبياء ثم الأمثل فالأمثل, were the prophets and those who followed in their footsteps. And so your iman, however, what does it do? Your worship, what does it do? It will allow you to go through the hardship with ease. It will allow you to go through the hardship that you're going through. It will make it easier for you. So say, Alhamdulillah for ni'matul Islam and ni'matul Iman النعمه السنه that guides us. يعني all of these يعني remedies are coming from where? They're coming from the pharmacy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so don't allow for your sadness to overwhelm you. Don't allow your sadness to you and your sadness become one. Detach yourself. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. So do not be weakened and do not grieve. And you will be superior if you are true believers. And so subhanAllah, one of the strategies you can try, if you are feeling overwhelmed, let's say there's a moment that comes to you and you're feeling really sad and all your thoughts are consumed with that loss, with that grief, that which is يعني, giving you that sadness, is to delay. Say to yourself, I'm going to delay that thought for later. And then the second D, this is the first D, the second D, distract yourself. Go and do something to distract your mind, to distract your mind. And then make a decision straight away. That's the third D, as to why you don't want to be in this state, because it's going to exhaust you. It's going to take away from your peace and your tranquility and from your energy and from you being the best version of yourself. The eighth strategy, as-salah, as-salah. Pray, pray. And these were the last words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away his noble breath. And we know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam kana idha hazabahu amran aw amrun fazi'a ila as-salah. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, something was bothering him, he would straight away resort to the salah. And he would turn to Bilal ibn Rabah, the muadhin, and he would say, أَرِحْنَا بِهَا يَا بِلَال. Give us raha, give us rest through the salah. Because the salah gives you tranquility. And so this is something to remember. And we know that this is one of the strategies that Allah Azza wa Jal prescribed to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam at the end of Surah An-Najm, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَضِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he had ihsas, he had emotions, he had feelings. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it hurt him that people were speaking about him, that people were harming him and his family and his companions and the da'wah. It hurt him. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, and we already know that your breast is constrained by what they say. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribes for him three things to do. He says, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. That's number one, التسبيح. ذكرullah عز وجل. When you're going through that tight-chestedness. التسبيح. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ. Number two, وَكُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. And be from amongst those who make sujood. Notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't just instruct to pray, but He mentioned a segment of the prayer. Because that segment of the prayer signifies the heart, the lub of the salah, which is as-sujood, which is the prostration, which is the closest time that you can be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَكُنْ مِنَ السَّاجِدِينَ. And be from amongst those who make sujood. وَعَبُدْ رَبَّكَ حَتَّى يَأْتِيَكَ الْيَقِينَ. An ibadah. Engage yourself in ibadah. Engage yourself in any act of worship until yaqeen, until the certainty comes about, or until death comes about. So this was something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed. And subhanallah, we know that Allah, He praised the forefather of the entire Arabian Peninsula, Prophet Ismail. He praised him for one thing. He said, وَكَانَ يَأْمُرُ أَهْلَهُ بِالصَّلَةِ. Prophet Ismail, he would used to command his ahl, his family, to salli, to pray. SubhanAllah, today, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, we learn through countless, through many studies. Many studies today have shown that it is not the external materialistic factors that contribute to our true happiness, our genuine happiness. but it's internal factors. That there are external factors and that there are internal factors. So for example, many people, they may turn to things like, for example, they want to get happy, so they go watch a movie. Or they want to get happy and they go and buy a car, a home, a mobile phone, a new gadget. They're called external factors. And then there are internal factors, things that are really of substance. Like, for example, worship. Like, for example, helping other people. And subhanAllah, what studies and research have shown today, that it is the internal factors and not the external factors that bring about true nourishment for ourselves. I'll give you another example. You see, there's much food out there that's junk food. It looks nice, right? It tastes very nice. But once you put it into your stomachs, it causes pathogens, it causes toxicity, it causes sickness, it causes cancer, it causes autoimmune, it causes diabetes, it causes heart problems. But it looks amazing, it tastes amazing. But the reality is it isn't. And so subhanAllah, how Allah Azza wa Jalla says, أَلَا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَطْمَئِنُّ الْقُلُوبِ. If you, and where is happiness? Where is the storehouse of happiness? The storehouse of happiness is in our heart. So we have to make sure that we do that. Another contributor, another important contributor to our happiness, inshaAllah ta'ala, and dealing with hardships, is to give sadaqah and to be charitable. When you're going through a difficult moment, give sadaqah. Be charitable. There is a hadith, دَاوُ مَرْضَاكُمْ بِالصَّدَقَةِ. Some ulama, they said it's da'if, it's weak. Other scholars, and according to Shaykh al-Albani, it is hasan, that means it's a good hadith. They said, treat your sick ones through charity. So you give charity sadaqah on their behalf. But this can actually fall also under the ayah from Surah Ar-Rahman, whereby Allah Azza wa Jal says, هَلْ جَزَاءُ الْإِحْسَانِ إِلَّا الْإِحْسَانِ. That the reward for good, or is the reward for good anything but good? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullahu ta'ala, he would search Allah to find people to help them with their need. He used to go searching, where can I help? Where can I help? Who needs help? He would be searching everywhere to help people. Why? He says, because he knew that every time he helped someone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was going to help him. And look at today, we have social media accounts. We have WhatsApp messages, we have SMS, we have emails, we have websites throwing opportunities at us to help. And subhanAllah, when we are helping others, who are we helping? وَمَا تُقَدِّمُوا بِأَنفُسِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ. Whatever you put forward for what? For yourself. Yes, you're putting it forward to others, but actually it's helping you. Number 10, be patient, as-sabr. And here we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned sabr and patience in over 90 places in the Quran. So something that we have to always understand, that when it comes to sabr, be patient. You don't know when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to relieve you. Sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He relieves you immediately. And sometimes He delays it. Let's have two examples here. Musa's mother, was reunited after she put her child in the basket in the river and he went to Fir'aun. She was reunited with him only a few hours later. Straight away the relief came. She was in a state of probably anxiety and worry and grief. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reunited her within hours with Musa alayhi salam. Ya'qub alayhi salam, he cried for his son Yusuf for a number of years. And then later on, after all of these years, he gets reunited with his father. And so subhanAllah, you never know when it's going to come. I had a brother, subhanAllah, today I was speaking to him. And he said to me, you know, I couldn't have children. And subhanAllah, started to make dua, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided me to somebody whereby I could do IVF. And I sat and I spoke with this doctor. And he said to me, 15 years later, after that conversation, I had my first child. 15 years later, la ilaha illallah. And so, sabr is very, very important. People who are doing well, people who are successful, who are making progress in their life, they are doing it how? They're doing it through sabr. Nobody becomes successful and has a business and becomes a leader or has all of these fortunes and has all of these beautiful things in their life without sabr. Of course you need sabr. You have to be patient. You go to study. You have to go through the motions, inshaAllah ta'ala. So a person suffering, he says to you, but I can't. You say to them, you can through sabr. You can through patience. And so through persistence, you conquer the resistance. And remind yourself, my dear brother and my dear sister in Islam, that the pain of discipline, it weighs grams compared to the pain of regret by not being patient and being hasty, which will weigh tons in the future. Another very important contributor to help with your mood, to help with your grief, to help with your tolerance levels, is to invest in your health. To invest in your health. Yes. SubhanAllah, exercise. And we know that exercise, it releases endorphins. And this, interacts with the receptors in your brain that reduce your perception of pain. So something very, very important is exercise. Walking, we've become a people in this day and age whereby, social media and laptops and devices and transportation, we've become a people that is just always sitting down. And so, if we think back in the days, people were always walking here and walking there. We don't move as much. And so that's very important. The number of hours of sleep, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam slept after Isha, that's also, studies have shown that it impacts your health. Likewise, the nutrition. كُلُّ مِنْمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ حَلَالًا طَيِّبًا. We focus on the halal, but we're not focusing on the tayyib. The tayyib is that which is wholesome, that which is good for your body. Junk food is not food. There's junk and there's food. If you're eating junk, you're not eating food. So, remember this. Keep away from these type of nutrition that's going to harm your body. This is an amana. And also in this day and age, we find that much of the food and the drink, it's depleted of the nutrients that we need. Certain vitamins, certain minerals. And today we have study and research that has concluded that about the importance of supplementation. So for example, vitamin B is very, very important. The B, you can get yourself a B complex, for example. Magnesium is very, very important. Did you know, for example, magnesium is a cofactor in more than 300 enzyme systems that regulate diverse biochemical reactions in the body, including the protein synthesis, the muscle, nerve function, blood glucose control. Magnesium, something, subhanAllah, that is getting depleted from our fruit and from our vegetables because the soils are not being rested. There's lots of chemicals in our fruit and vegetables that's depleting that. So maybe talk to a person who has, a holistic approach to health and talk about nutrition. Some people's levels, they always don't have any energy. Maybe they are not having enough B in their diet. Maybe they are lacking vitamin D. D3, for example, is another very important one. And subhanAllah, several studies have suggested that the symptoms of being sad, may be to changing levels of vitamin D3, which may affect serotonin levels of the brain. So this is something, vitamin D helps improve your mood. So subhanAllah, Islam never prevented us from asking the people of knowledge. And this is what we are made up of. We are made up from the earth. So something to also to think about, and limit sugar. When you're feeling down, when you're feeling depressed, limit sugar, because sugar feeds the depression. Even honey. طيب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حث على العسل والتمر. Yes, but in moderation. In moderation. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم mentioned honey and he mentioned tamar, and we just eat until our bellies are out there. No, everything in moderation. No one's saying, don't eat sugar, khalas, we can't have these type of food. Also, my dear brother and my dear sister in Islam, always remind yourself about the reality of this worldly life. And this is number 12. SubhanAllah, have you noticed that when we are born into this life, are we born laughing or are we born crying? We are born crying. So, subhanAllah, we begin the journey of life by weeping and crying. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, always remember these words in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. He said, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'mini wa jannatul kafir." When one scholar once, he was, يعني, subhanAllah, he was living a good life, he came across a Jew who was very poor. He said, "Your Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam," he said, "Your Nabi," he says, "Ad-dunya sijnul mu'min wa jannatul kafir." He says, the dunya, this worldly life, is a prison for the believer, and it is a garden, a heaven, for the disbeliever. When I look at you, you're a believer. But look at you, you look like you're in Jannah here already. And you look at me, I'm a kafir, I'm not in any Jannah. Look at me, I'm poor, I have no money. And so the scholar was very intelligent. And he said to him, what I am going through in this dunya, no matter how beautiful it is, there is something even greater for me in the hereafter that's called Jannah. And what you're going through in this dunya, you are going to receive far worse than it in the hereafter if you don't become a Muslim. So let us remember the reality, insha'Allah ta'ala. Your language, number 13, you are what you think, you are what you say. Your thoughts and the language you use towards yourself play a massive role in the way that you feel. And subhanAllah, recently I spoke to a brother who was in jail for 8 years. He was in jail for 8 years, and he had a wife and he had 2 children outside waiting for him. And I said to him, you know, just being inquisitive, how did you do it? How did you feel? He said, you know what? He said, it's all in your head. He goes, what you think will either make you or break you. What you think will either make you or break you. You can look at it and feel sad and feel anguish and feel sorry for yourself, or you can rejoice. It is the example of يعني, being happy that the glass is half full as opposed to the glass being half empty. And also, my dear brothers and my dear sisters in Islam, inshaAllah ta'ala, if you are in a serious state of anxiety or you feel that you are depressed, there is nothing wrong with seeking professional help. Experiencing moments of anxiety, worry, stress, and fear, they are normal emotional behaviors that can affect our lives at any given time. And experiencing those behaviors does not mean you are depressed or that you have an anxiety disorder. Just because you have those يعني, behaviors, خلاص, I'm depressed. لا. Anxiety is يعني, a necessary bodily response or a warning, a signal or a red flag to alert us of a difficulty or a strange situation, or a difficult situation. And if you're not feeling anxious or fearful, then how are you going to find out or be anticipating or recognizing any harm that's coming your way? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He created us with this mechanism of being anxious if we feel something is wrong, so we can defend ourselves. So the question is, when does anxiety become problematic? Anxiety becomes problematic and can lead to a disorder when there are symptoms. What are the symptoms? So for example, you have shortness of breath, or your heart is beating very fast, or there's muscle tension, poor memory, you can't focus, you can't relax, you sweat a lot, you're always worried, you can't concentrate, you feel very weak, you shake, stomach ulcers, okay? You're always confused, then we say, and it happens for a period of time, maybe a number of weeks, then we say seek help. You need guidance. You need assistance, insha'Allah ta'ala. My final words is know that inna ma'al usri yusra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, inna ma'al usri yusra, inna ma'al usri yusra. Know that with difficulty, there comes ease. With difficulty comes ease. Meaning with every difficult situation, you will experience ease before it and you will experience ease after it. Know that the past is gone forever, and that your dwelling over the past creates a form of insanity that destroys the present. Painful episodes of the past are finished with, and sadness cannot retrieve them, and a depressive attitude will not make them right. Know, my dear brother and my dear sister in Islam, that forgiving someone who has wronged you won't make yesterday's pain disappear, but it will allow for tomorrow's happiness to grow. So divorce the past and marry the future. When you drive, do you look through the rearview mirror more or the windscreen? Of course, you're going to say you look in the windscreen more. So don't keep on looking back in the past. Look forward, insha'Allah ta'ala. And know that difficult roads lead to beautiful places. How many times have you traveled on a difficult road only to find it's a very beautiful place? And this is the life. This is the dunya. There will be ups and there will be downs. Just like a heart monitor. It goes up and down. If it's flat, you're dead. There's no such thing as a life that's going to be just flatline. It's all going to be good. No way. It can never happen. There has to be hardships. You have to go through the ups and you have to go through the downs. And so, in order to be the best version of yourself, insha'Allah ta'ala, adhere to these injunctions that are set out in the Quran, in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and through study and research. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and to inspire us to all that will allow us to deal with our grief in a way that is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to inspire and to guide us to all that will bring about happiness and success and prosperity, and to that which will make us stronger in times of trial and tribulation. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad.